When it comes to personal hygiene, who has time to read the long list of ingredients on the back of the bottle? Some ingredients I can't even pronounce. And if you're like me, you care about what goes in your body. Now it's time to try Native personal care products like I did. Every Native product is thoughtfully formulated to keep you feeling and smelling fresh all day long. And you know Native for its aluminum-free deodorant. Native keeps their ingredients list bare naked with ingredients you can understand like coconut oil, shea butter, and baking soda. Native deodorants check a lot of boxes. 72-hour odor protection, naturally derived ingredients, and a smooth residue-free application. Native also offers a variety of scents with new and limited edition scents being released all the time. When you use Native, you will smell amazing all day long thanks to their long-lasting scents. Want to smell spicy and woodsy or clean and fresh? Native has a scent option for everyone. They do have some really great limited edition smells. One is from their cabin collection. It's called Warm Cider and Cinnamon. Another one is Cashmere and Rain. Ah, just the thought of that smell just is intoxicating. They also have Toasted Marshmallow and Vanilla, Wildwood and Cardamom. And my favorite of those three are the Cashmere and Rain scent combo. You all have to check it out. Now is the time to make the switch from an antiperspirant to Native. When you visit their website, you can discover all the fresh scents and maybe even try out one of their body washes while you're at it. Native has been a company that I have absolutely loved and used before, even before working with them. And like I said, that the Cashmere Rain. It smells so beautiful and clean. So smell and feel fresh all day long with Native. Get 20% off your first order by going to nativedo.com/argue. Or use promo code argue at checkout. That's nativedo.com/argue. Or use promo code argue at checkout for 20% off your first order.
What's happening, family?
What's happening?
Welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
I am your host, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, and my other beautiful, scrumptious co-host. Go on, let them know who you eat.
Hello, you guys. I'm that sexy man's wife. I'm known as Angel Tanksley. I'm also known as Angel Akita Moore. I'm also known as that chick Angel. And if this is your first time tuning into our podcast, welcome. We are so glad to have you. If you've been here for a while, you know we love you and we're glad that you're here. This is a weekly podcast that's uploaded every Wednesday where my husband and I talk about all things. Any and everything. A lot of our stuff is relationship-based and family-based, but we also talk about careers, personalities, pop culture, political events. We talk about it all. So, buckle up, tune in, enjoy the ride. We also have some amazing people that are watching this live. They are who we call our immediate family, our angel wings, our tanks riders. They are our Patreon. These are people who have decided to invest in what we create by paying $5 a month on Patreon. And you could go to www.patreon.com/thatchickangel where you'll get to see this show filmed live. You also get to see the regular Here's the Thing episode filmed live, as well as the Bald and the Beautiful film live. That's a lot of shows that you're getting for $5 weekly. You also get different community events. We recently did a Halloween costume contest that was amazing. We have a Friendsgiving dinner that's going to be coming up here soon. So there's a lot of things that $5 will get you.
Early releases, discounts.
All of it. We just did a Twitter party and announced it to our Patreon. And then coming up next year, Is This Going to Cause an Argument? Is going to have an after show. So where we'll be commenting back on some of the comments that were given to us during the episode, the original episode, and like going deeper into conversation. So for $5, you get all that.
Let me tell you how this community be showing up for us.
Mm-hmm.
They be showing up and showing out.
They do. I thought you were going to go into detail. You said, let me tell you about
it. No, I'm just saying, they be showing up and showing out. Like I said, they get like all merch stuff. They get all that stuff early.
Yes, they get a lot
when it ain't
of
available. It'd be because of them.
So please, go ahead, spend that $5, all right, or get the whole year. That's like, it's actually you get
less
a month
than $5
free.
$5 a month.
Yeah, if you do the whole year. And then we have sponsors for the actual podcast. You heard from our first one, Native, but we have three more, and they are Ritual, Helix, and BetterHelp. We'll tell you more about them. And if they offer a service of something that you've been thinking about trying, please give them a try. Use our promo code, because when you support them, you support us.
Yeah, it helps us pay for this stuff and helps us pay for our
assistant.
Person that helps us assist with podcast stuff, even though she be lacking, but it's okay.
Don't you talk about my niece.
It's okay.
All right.
Anyhow, moving on. So we got a segment we call Tanksley Pride. Tanksley Pride, you my pride, he's my pride, they are my pride, it's Tanksley Pride.
I like that.
Tanksley Pride. Boom. All right. Anyway, Tanksley Pride is about one of our four boys, one or all of our four boys. We have four boys, the ages of 13, 7, and 3. Then the 3 7-year-olds are twins.
The 2 7-year-olds are twins.
Yeah, it would be two if it's twins.
You said the 3 7-year-olds.
I said and three. I said the 7-year-olds are twins.
Oh, because it was so close together. Sound like you said and 3 7-year-olds are twins.
Nah, so that's Tanksley Pride. We call them the Tanksley Pride. So you want me to go first?
I'll go first. You know I got something to say. Willy Wonka. Two words. That's all that's needed to be said. That's all that's said to be needed, okay? Because our son, our eldest, firstborn, second of his name, Marcus Anthony Tanksley II, performed in his first, I didn't realize it until he said it on stage. Uh-huh. So his last, I'm going to post it on Instagram here soon. Why? What is happening? Nothing. Okay. I'm going to post it on Instagram here soon. His last performance, he had to say a little speech at the end after it was all said and done, because they were giving flowers to their conductor as well as their director. And so Marcus said they didn't tell him until he got there at his call time. Yeah. Hey, you're going to be saying a speech. Come up with something. And he was like, okay. And he said, you know, this is my first year at this school. He's like, and this is my first time ever in a musical. I forgot this child had never been in a musical.
Yeah.
Until he said it. Because his last role at his old school, he had to do a little bit of singing. It was made up singing. He was able to improvise it. And then there was one musical number in there that wasn't anyone singing. It was just people dancing on stage. And so I was like, musical.
Wasn't no goddamn musical.
It wasn't. It did not dawn on me. This is the first time.
Old trash plays they used to do in that school.
This child had to learn 7 songs. He had to learn over 27 pages of dialogue. And Willy Wonka be talking.
Yeah.
And he don't always put words in the order in which you think they should be put in. He purposefully, Willy Wonka, the way he's written, purposefully mixes words in a very unique ways on purpose to confuse the listener.
Right.
So it makes it even harder to memorize because it's not the logical way in which you would speak. So obviously I cried hard. First show. The lights wasn't even up yet. I was able to see my baby start walking out on stage. Tears.
You saw his foot.
I saw his foot. I saw
like starting to walk. He wasn't even coming out. He wasn't even out in the spotlight yet.
And
like
I started
his
crying.
His foot standing off stage. His food.
Crying.
Streaming.
Well, the thing is that I birthed him. And that really blows my mind that I birthed this person standing on stage commanding the and this boy wasn't nervous. This boy has no stage fright.
Does not have his stage fright
at all. I asked him today.
I don't know where he got that from.
I perform all the time in bubble guts every rib.
I get stage fright for other people.
Yes. Were you nervous for him?
Yeah.
I bet you were. I bet. I mean, but no stage fright. So confident. I asked him today. I did a little interview. I'm going to chop it together, put it on Instagram. And I said, at any point in time, did you doubt you'd be able to get all of it done when you saw how much work it was? He was like, yes, at one point in time. I was like, but by the time you, I said, did that go away by the time you got to the show? He was like, yeah, I knew that by the time we got to the show, I knew I had it. I knew I could do it. So I'm just immensely proud of him. This old black grandmother prophesied over him. Not his own grandmother. Another child's grandmother. She was like Jeremiah 29:11. She said, I'm going to tell you something. I see his spirit. She's like, I'm not even referring to the role. I see the spirit of that young man. And she said, this is that scripture just in case you don't know. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. She said, let me tell you, God got something big for that young man. I said, we receive it. Amen and amen. So, yeah, I'll be posting some more snippets of his performance. A lot of those kids were super duper talented. So yeah,
there was nobody on that stage that wasn't impressive.
Yeah.
Every single child's voice that you heard.
And one of the moms tried to tell me when he got cast, she was like, I need you to understand that the kids at this school are super talented. So that needs to let you know how well of an audition your son did, because he wasn't. It's easy to look great in front of a lot of mediocre people.
Right.
It's really hard to look great in front of people who have way more experience and are just as talented, or even some of them, like some of these kids hit 3-part harmony in one song. I was like, well, hold up. Y'all just go. And there was no like clean, 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 like hitting the note out on the piano so they could hear it. No, they could hear it with their own ears. Lil Marcus can't harmonize yet. These kids were like, let me hit you with this harmony.
Yeah. He had a play at one of the plays he was in at the school prior to this one. There was one little girl that like, she didn't even have that big of a role, but she clearly outshined everybody. Mm-hmm. She was like a polished chrome in the middle of a dirt field. Like that's how bad she stood out, because this is like, all right, this girl's clearly trained to where these other kids are just regurgitating these lines as fast as they can with no expression whatsoever. But this play, it was like somebody said in the comments, full out production.
Oh,
they had anytime you go to a play and they got like old white men down in the orchestra pit doing, and the conductor, everybody wearing black and suits. I was like, this is for real, for real. Them kids was doing the thing.
They had on their little earpieces with their little mouthpiece.
Solid black where you couldn't see them.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Set, I'm talking about, so in the play above, and I'll post pictures as well, above the stage, you don't recognize it at first because there's no light. But as each winner of the golden ticket in the story get a golden ticket, on top of the stage, a light comes on, and it's a golden ticket with the character's name. So as each golden ticket is found, another one comes on. So by the end of the first act, you see 5 golden tickets with the name of each character printed on it.
And slowly it illuminates. Once that kid finds they play a little and it illuminates when the kid finds the ticket or whatever. Yeah. Then when they get kicked out, it goes off.
It goes off
again, like, oh, you out.
This was on some old Broadway type of level. Like, wait, what?
Because there was not, those tickets were not recognizable until they were lit. It was like the first one, when the first one happened, the whole audience was like,
I mean, production, the way the kids got eliminated, the Violet Beauregard, she's the one in the story. If you know the Willy Wonka story, she chews bubblegum and she ends up chewing the everlasting gobstopper, but she turns into a blueberry herself.
Yeah.
This girl literally expanded while we were on her. Yeah. Her outfit inflated. She looked like a blueberry on the stage.
The light changed on her. The spotlight like intensified on her to where she was in her entire body was blue.
It was stupid.
This is middle school.
I just.
That's what the people ain't understanding.
It was crazy. I was like, what?
Little boy that got sucked up into the pipe.
The falling into the chocolate river. The chocolate river, obviously, it was just made of like cloth because they are not about to have a whole bunch of brown liquid on stage. The boy falls into the chocolate river and they say, oh, he's stuck in a pipe. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how they were going to do this visually. They had this cute, like, colorful pipe that was going from the floor up to the roof. The boy falls into the chocolate river, so we know he falls underneath the brown cloth.
Yeah, brown, shiny cloth looks very well assimilates a chocolate river.
All of a sudden, we see what we think is his body inside of this tube. They have dressed a dummy just like this boy.
Identical clothes, identical size. Put him in this tube.
And yanked him up in that tube. I mean, it got the biggest laugh because it was so creative how they pulled it off.
The first night, I was like, did they harness him? I could not tell at first that it was a dummy.
Yes.
Until he got like all the way. I'm like, nah, they had to be a dummy.
It's such a good moment. It's so funny. The kids, they play these characters to a T. Yeah. It was just so beautiful. They said, Marcus, did you cry?
No. Wow. I didn't cry.
But why'd you just answer? You're like, nah.
No, I didn't cry at all up until the very last part when he came out the first night and took his bow.
Oh, that made
That's
you...
when I was like, ugh!
Did you cry?
I almost had a tear.
Oh.
I was fighting back tears. I will say that.
You were fighting
However,
back.
I did a whole lot better than what I thought I would. I thought I would be a sobbing mess the whole show.
Did you?
I packed napkins just in case. I was like, I ain't gonna be able to take this. Weeks ago, I was like, I ain't gonna be no good. I ain't tell you because Angel just don't let me do stuff.
I would have let you. No, I would have let. Yes, I would have. I was
you
having
still
to
been talking about it. Oh, but get off of me.
Let me tell you that last performance because I did good. I got most of my tears out that first performance. That last performance when he came out to take his bow. I'm gonna cry about thinking about it. The cast. So if y'all are watching and I'm facing you all, I'm the cast. So the actors come from backstage. So the cast took their arms and they all did this to present him as he came out.
Yeah, I probably broke down.
I was like,
on that one. The twins had a different engagement they had to be at. Actually, Marcus would have been at if he didn't have the place, so I wasn't able to go to the last one, but I definitely probably would have looked at her over.
Yeah, I told you.
I probably would have been, no good then. But yeah, like the first show, him coming out, I probably would have teared up, but I was so nervous for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that completely overshadowed it. But, did the whole play, and at the end, we cheering for everybody. I'm like, all right, here come Marcus. He's the last one out. And I stood up and I was clapping and he walked out. I was like, oh God. Oh, no. And I didn't know where it was going to go. I was like, how hard am I about to be? About to get loud and ugly. I love you so.
I wouldn't be mad at you. I've been like, that's right. You made that boy. You surely did. And I told him, I said, like my biggest thing was I wanted him to have fun. And he said he did. He had a lot of fun that first night. And also I said, what makes it so beautiful, you getting this role. This is what I told him as we drove away from his last performance. I said, one, you weren't even gunning for this role. You just wanted to be a part of the production.
All he cared, he could have been one of the people.
He could have been an Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa, one of the people carrying the stage stuff around.
He would have been just fine doing that. I was like, but. Like that grandmother just said, God had plans for you that you weren't even looking to have. And then two, I was like, you're not a diva. And I was like, that makes you so special. You literally had the biggest part in this play and you approached it the same way, meaning his attitude.
You would never know.
Yeah.
Seeing him interact with people, talk to people. You would think, are you in the play? Or are you just here to watch?
Like, he was like, oh, no, I talked to everyone. He was like, I remember at my old school, one of the girls who had one of the bigger roles, she got kind of diva-ish afterwards. And he said, I remember seeing my teacher roll his eyes at her once. He was like, everybody saw it. He was like, yeah, no. I said, and that's really beautiful in you being that type of person and not having people feel like they're less important because they have a lesser amount of lines in you. I was like, you have no idea how much that helps the morale of the entire show. And he was like, yeah, you know, understanding it.
they would have thought I was mad and arguing at somebody. That's how ugly that cry.
Oh yeah, I can believe it. It was
down there arguing.
It was gorgeous. And I asked him, I said, what was the two? I said, you'll see it in the little interview. I said, give me your favorite performance part and then your favorite thing overall. His favorite performance part was the Chocolate River because he just thought that was it is a really great moment. And his favorite part overall was all the friends he made. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why Marcus wants to be an actor, but the reason why he really loves theater is that you spend so much time with these people that you end up with friends.
Yes, the star factor is nowhere in his mind. Like, people cheering for him, he's just like, okay, but he's in it because he enjoys it. It ain't got nothing to do with that.
I can tell you that is not me. I would have ate up. I'm not a diva, but I would have ate it all up. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You gotta add.
Is it time? Is that why
I don't know?
Asking?
It probably is. It was supposed to be 10 minutes. We done went far longer. Okay. I'm about to move on to the next subject.
Okay, sir. Calm down. You gotta
keep
going.
This thing in order.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you keeping things in order. And I appreciate that with the extra hour we got from daylight savings being over, I got to spend that extra hour on my Helix mattress. Okay, you understand me? Because me and Marcus toe up that extra hour. Yeah. We did not get up out the bed on Sunday until 10 a.m.
We lost the hour.
The baby was asking for cereal. I was like, find someone else. I am not available because that Helix mattress was feeling so great. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer 100 nights risk-free trial to try out your new mattress. See how your body adjusts, and if you decide it's not the best fit, you're welcome to return it for a full refund. Everyone is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions, plus enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs a little extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individual wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. The perfect combination for comfort and support. So when we took the Helix Sleep Quiz, we were matched with the Midnight Lux mattress because we wanted something that was like about a medium in firmness, and then we both sleep differently. You sleep on your side a lot of the times. Yeah. I usually end up on my back, sometimes on my side. We absolutely love our mattress and are so glad we upgraded. Not only is this mattress the best that we slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. We actually have a vlog of Marcus cutting that sucker open and it expanding like Violet did on Willy Wonka. The Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, Helix mattresses are American made and come with a 10 to 15 year warranty depending on the model. Remember, you get to try it out for 100 nights risk free. If you don't love it, but I know you will, they will pick it up for you and give you a free refund. Helix was awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine and is recommended by leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as the go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/argue.
Argue.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Again, that's helixsleep.com/argue.
Argue. This next segment we call TikTok O'Clock.
Angel, girl, what time is it?
TikTok O'Clock. On TikTok O'Clock, we're going to play you, we're going to play a video or a sound from TikTok, and Marcus and I.
Oh, we give our opinion on it. I couldn't remember if that was Tank or Vice or not. All right.
Bless my man's
heart. Will it play
heart.
Over here? Oh, yeah, it will. No, yeah, it will. Here it is. Y'all listen in.
I never forget, in college, I had this one professor that said to the whole class, you owe it to your partner to remain in the same level of looks and health that you were in when you first met this person. As he said that, the whole class kind of erupted, but mostly it was the women in the class. Most of the men just kept quiet. Now, my take on this, I think that you should remain in that same level of appearance that you were in when you first met your partner, because that was the main thing that drew your partner to you, your level of physical attractiveness, right? I can hear y'all right now talking about, well, what about pregnancy? Well, what about this? What about that? Do you understand what a woman's body goes through? I 100% get you. I understand. But I want y'all to know that this is not just directed at women. This is for men too. The men need to remain still in the same level of top tier physical attraction as well. Yes, beauty is fleeting. We understand. But if I met you at like a 130, 140 and you tacked on about 60 to 70 pounds over the course of a few years of the relationship, that's an issue. And not just for women, that's an issue for men as well. And for those of you that would still be upset with this commentary, I have to ask you a question. If after you gained this weight or you had the baby and you are not able to keep up with the same look, how do you deal with, or how would you deal with your significant other telling you that they are no longer attracted to the way that you look? For most people, I think that headspace they would be put in would be pretty catastrophic, right? Like, what is your response to that? Like, I seriously want to know. What would you say to that? Because those of you that like to actually enter into physical intercourse with your partner, for the men, like, how do you stand at attention if you're not attracted to the person that you're with? I know y'all like to think that men just will sleep with a hole in the ground, but a lot of men aren't like that. And the same thing goes with women. Like, how do you get in the mood to do something like that with a person that you don't find physically attractive?
Both this gentleman and his college professor sound like ignorant, naive, oblivious people to me. Over time, people will change. If you are with someone because of their looks and that is solely what makes you attracted to them, then you are with them for the wrong reasons. I don't look the same as I did when me and Angel met. Angel was extremely attracted to me. She says all the time she's more attracted to me now because I put on about 45, 50 pounds. She didn't expect me to do that. For anybody that with this thought process, it sounds like, what's that dude? Kevin Samuels was this dude's professor. And he fell right in line with this. He mentioned the pregnancy thing. Yes, that's a big thing. However, as you age, naturally the body puts on more weight. Naturally, most people weigh more. That goes for humans. That goes for animals. Mm-hmm. Animals. If you ever had a dog, your dog's gonna put on weight as it ages. That's just what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, you change. You don't stop changing once you're in your 20s. Once you hit your 30s. Once you hit your 40s. There is no. Your body don't stop changing until your body starts decaying, and when that decay process ends,
mm-hmm.
That's the only time your body don't change. This type of rhetoric, it's so annoying. This is just as stupid to me as the chicks that be on TikTok talking about, if your man, the one that I saw recently, if your man sleep on his stomach, you need to be suspicious. That's how stupid that sounds. For sleeping? Nigga, I'm asleep. what does that have to do with anything? And the fact that you got professors, as he said, claim his professor was talking about this. Where did he get these degrees from? Sound like a straight up idiot to me, the professor. For someone to get with somebody in their 20s, now y'all approaching 55. What 55-year-old do you know that has the same shape that they had in their 20s? That's had children,
that's had careers that ain't just been taken care of. Now, you do got those rare people that are able to keep those sizes, keep those shapes, but that's few and far between. They're usually petite, very short, petite people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I know, at least, I know right. people that have kept their same shape. They work out like crazy. They have time to do all of that. And usually those, for some reason, those short, petite, short and petite, that combination, the ones that I know, I don't know anybody that's of, I'll say a quote unquote average size and height or above average size and height are is the same size. I don't know anybody like that. Even the girls that I went to school with, the ones that were always really skinny, even now, they picked up weight because they're older. That's just the genetics. That's the human makeup. That's how the body works. As your body develops as a woman, as a man, it changes because it's preparing itself for adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what happens. What kind of idiots be going around with this type of, like?
I remember we talked about this before on the podcast, and I feel like you said something different than when we talked about putting on weight.
I said, why can't you voice that you would like to work out? There wasn't like, you should be this size, you should be that size.
Okay.
But wanting your partner to work out, or how do you voice that to him? Like the second half of what he's saying, yeah, how do you, if both of y'all putting on weight and like, oh, I'm looking like this, you looking like that, how about we go in and start doing some things together?
Yeah.
How do you say that without the partner hearing you're fat and disgust me?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that's how it may come off.
Right. I don't want to interrupt you. Are you?
Go ahead. You seem eager to talk.
No, it wasn't. Don't you roll your eyes at me. I really don't understand what's the point of vows. Like, if we say for better or worse, and in sickness and in health, and the for better or for worse in sickness and in health does not include the fact that my body might go through certain changes. And this is the reason why I think this is a bunch of bullshit.
Put that on the ride.
Don't
put that on no university to be actually trying to help people.
Here's the reason why I think that's bullshit is that he's talking about right now weight and like the same, mostly weight. And he's like the same physical attraction. So we're thinking about, oh, people picking up weight or what have you. People get in car accidents. Mm-hmm. People get hurt. People get burned. These are things that sometimes happen by accident or by just like malpractice or something happening. Are you then saying because your spouse no longer looks like how you married them that you have now somehow broken the expectation that you all should have had of each other?
Just real quick, with that, what about just the face aging?
I'm about to get there. Marcus had a head full of curly hair when I met him. Marcus now chooses to shave his head completely bald. While did I have a preference towards Marcus having hair? I will 100% say that. Does him being bald make him less attractive to me? No, because my attraction to him, while it is still very much so physical, the person he is, my attraction to him as a person well supersedes that. And I think a lot of people forget that being a part of a marriage. Him saying the thing that made you mostly attracted to that person was the physical, the appearance. I had seen cute dudes before Marcus. That, like, Marcus being attractive was one thing. I thought Marcus was hilarious. I liked the fact that Marcus could dance really good. There were so many things outside of him being cute. Cuteness is something that is not as hard to find as it's not that hard right. to find.
Right.
There are cute people walking this planet every day, tons of them. So that he came out of the blocks already wrong. You right. know what I'm saying? Because there are a lot of cute people who are buttholes in ways that I can't deal with, or who are chauvinistic in ways that I just can't stand. So I think he started the statement off wrong already. And two, I will never be in shape for Marcus. I will never get in shape for my spouse. I will never do things that permanently alter me for him. I will always do those things for myself. Now, my health, staying in good health, is partially for him because I don't want him to have to take care of me because of my own bad choices. But as far as how I look physically, permanently, those things I do for myself. Will I wear a cute outfit for my husband? Absolutely. Will I wear a certain height of a heel for him? Yes, these are all things that are temporary that I can take off at the end of the day that I don't got to feel as though, oh, I did this for you and now I can't get out of it. But as far as in altering myself, whether it be my weight, whether it be my muscle mass, whether it be my hair, the color of my hair, the color of my eyes, I would never do that for him because that's not a reason for me to ever want to change. Marcus knew how much I liked his hair. Marcus shaved his hair for himself. And that is the reason why he's attracted to me, because he likes how he looks. I like how he looks because of that. What you looking at?
I'm looking at this dude because I'm like, to be thinking like this, you got to be young, dumb, and full of cum.
No, there are men who be real grown.
But that just goes to show you that they ain't, like, if you with somebody, you get with them because of their looks, and she get with you because of your looks. What's to stop her, which I'm looking at him and it won't be hard to find a dude more attractive than him. What's to stop her from just jumping to the next dude? If you in it because of looks and looks only.
Not only that.
This dude got on a toboggan and a hoodie.
Not only.
Sleeveless. Is this, or was that the thing behind him? Oh, that's the chair behind him. I was like, his shoulders are out.
No, not only that though. It really makes me think, oh, you don't know how a woman is turned on. For you to be like, how as a woman can you muster up the attraction to have sex? If men still think that it is just us visually getting, then we already got issues right there. Because half the time, visual don't matter at all when it comes to, it matters some, and I mean I say it all, but that is only a small slither of the pie. We can ignore all of the visual if everything else is in line. If we feel fully comfortable, if we feel like we can be completely vulnerable in that not being taken advantage of, if we have had good rest, if our minds have been stimulated by something, it does not matter. Of all that other stuff. And men will put their penis in a hole. He said yeah, men would. Won't. Men, you know, a lot of
they
men
definitely
won't.
Would.
But some, I mean, yeah, maybe some wouldn't. But is there, go ahead, babe.
There's some that would. Mm-hmm. I mean, the chicks that Jay-Z got with, what they look like?
I don't know.
Old girl that old boy cheated on, Sanaa Lathan. It wasn't Sanaa Lathan. Who got cheated on recently?
Oh, Nia Long.
Nia Long. I know she wasn't on no Nia Long level.
Come on.
Now, man, get out of here.
So, needless to say, being two people who have been married for 15 years, and we can even go, we can look at other friends, all of our friends that have been married a long time, Melissa and Kevin. Melissa is probably the only one but she's short and petite.
She's short and petite. Melissa, she was probably the same size as she was in high school.
Yeah. Tora and BJ. When we look at our friends that have been married, my sister Melissa and her husband Danny, my sister Daisy and her husband Josh, we all
my brother and his wife.
We all, our lives have changed our bodies.
Yeah.
Our metabolisms have went to sleep for most of us. So, but luckily we all married people that fell in love for who we are, not just our physical presence.
Yeah. TikTok strikes again. Moving on from this foolishness. Main topic. Soulmates. What do you know? Do you believe that there is everyone? Let me start that over. Do you believe that there is one person for everyone? If so, how do you know when you found them? And if not, give us your take.
Do I believe in soulmates? Yes and no. And I say yes and no because I feel like you are my person. But I also feel as though I don't like the romanticizing of finding a soulmate. I don't like that. I feel like if we would have met at a different time in life, if we would have made different choices in life, you would not have been my person and I wouldn't have been yours.
Right.
But I do feel like our stars, for the sake of a better like analogy, our stars aligned at the perfect time. Me meeting you as young as you were and you meeting me as young as I was. Mm-hmm. And you being a person that lived in a conservative state where marriage was still very much so something that people desired to do. It's not as what is, you know, can't become today. And it's not like it is here in LA, because here in LA getting married that young seems odd. So the fact that we were both from this town where people got married at a young age and you were still young and figuring yourself out, I think it made us just gel so well. However, my mother maybe moved me out here to LA when I was a teenager and then we relocated to Los Angeles, relocated back to Kentucky, I possibly would have had a different mindset in not where we might have dated and we might have been like sexual partners. I don't know if I would have been in the mindset to be married. It's weird. Like, you go ahead and talk while I get my brain together. Actually, I know why my brain ain't together, because I didn't take my ritual today. Because had I taken my ritual, I typically feel like I've started myself out on the right steps for the day, okay? I'm not saying that it has any magical powers or anything like that. I just know I personally feel like I'm on top of my game when I have my ritual. And there's so many reasons why. Gaps in the diet cannot be ignored. There's so many things that we don't get, even when we're eating a healthy, balanced diet, that it's just stuff that's missing. And for 97%, actually a little more than 97% of women between the ages of 19 and 50, we're not getting enough vitamin D in our diet. Nor are we getting the recommended amount of daily intake of omega-3s, about 95% of women between the ages of 19 and 50. Well, that's why Rituals Essentials for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill in nutritional gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. It's formulated with nutrients to help brain support, okay? Support the brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. And a ritual didn't stop there. They did a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of essentials for women 18 plus multivitamin. And what was that impact? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. All right. Also, Ritual is committed to third-party testing from USP in the non-GMO project, traceable and vegan-friendly ingredients, and always clear communication, no shady stuff. Also, Ritual, if I've been really into my gut health, I was actually just watching this video on what a clean colon looks like and what other people's like unhealthy colons that are going through a lot. And so I've really gotten into gut health, and Ritual just released their Symbiotic Plus. It's a gut health supplement that's clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics all in one minty capsule. Just one delayed release Symbiotic Plus capsule per day supports your gut with all the quality and traceability you expect from Ritual. I absolutely love Ritual. Like I said, I love starting my day off with it. I really do feel like it starts me off on a great foot. And it helps me get through my day in a way that I really feel like I'm productive, just because I know I'm giving myself some of the best fuel that I can give it with Ritual's multivitamin. Right now, Ritual's offering our listeners 10% off their first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/argue.
Argue.
And turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/argue.
Argue. Soulmates, I'm sorry, they mad at me because I jumped in the comments and I was cussing.
Focus up.
I am focused. anyway, soulmates. I do not believe in soulmates. Technically, the definition of a soulmate is somebody you were meant to be with.
Let's see here. Let's look it up.
Yeah, let's look that up first and foremost, because
While you're looking that up, I'm gonna be talking. If that's the case, yeah, I definitely don't believe in him. That's how I've always every single goddamn week. That's how I've always thought of it, is like a soulmate of somebody, one person that you were meant to be with.
Okay, it says, in the current usage, soulmate usually refers to a romantic or platonic partner with the implications of an exclusive lifelong bond. It commonly holds the connotation of being the strongest bond with another person that one can achieve. It is commonly accepted that one will feel complete once they have found their soulmate. It is partially in the perceived definition that two souls are meant to unite.
I definitely, in the romantic sense, I'll stick with that one. Business wise, you know, who knows?
But, you said business wise.
Yeah, like if it's like it says two souls that were meant to link up.
Yeah, lifelong partnership though.
Okay. Romantically?
Or no, like for instance, Nina just sent me a post that said soulmates can be friends. She was like, "That's what I feel like you are to me."
Yeah, so I get that. That's why I said in the romantic sense.
Oh, when you said partner. Okay. Yeah. When you said business partner, I was like.
No, I'm saying I see it with friendship or romantic. Romantically, I don't believe in soulmates because, I mean, you got people that have been married for 25, 30 years and worked out great. And all of a sudden they not. And then they both get with other people and they're the happiest that they've ever been. Will they have been happy with this new partner when they got married the first time, you know, 20, 30 years prior? You never know, because people evolve as they age. Mm-hmm. Two, I don't believe there is someone for everyone. There are people out there that want to be single, have no desire to ever get married at all whatsoever, and are perfectly happy with that. We know people like that, and they live happy lives. It's not like they go around boasting, I'm single, I'd never get married. It's just not for them. They love our marriage. You know what I'm saying? They think it's great, but they have no desire to have children. They have no desire to be married. It's not like they're out here running the streets either. They're just not those type of people, which is perfectly fine. So for the whole soulmate thing, I like Angel, similar to what Angel was saying, I think it's when you meet someone and how you meet them changes everything. I think the cards fell right with the way me and Angel met each other. However, if we had met each other the first time in a club in Cincinnati, it may have been a different story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so that's the part that has me like on the fence, because I can only actually refer to the life that I am currently living.
Right.
And because that's the whole thing about soulmates, is that you're destined, and some people would consider the actions that we took in our lives are what brought us to that point of you knocking on the door that one day and me opening the door. Mm-hmm. Me getting evicted from my apartment and you being out here slutting it in the streets. Those two things.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have, like, we would have met even if it wasn't that day.
Do you think so? Because
as much as I was over there.
No. If I hadn't have become their roommate.
No, we probably wouldn't have met.
Yeah, I'm like.
Yeah, no, I get the, like, yeah.
So that's the reason why I'm on the fence, is because I can, while I brought up all the examples of had my life turned out differently, we would not have worked out together, but our life turned out the way it did.
But I'm saying, like, I feel like even if our paths crossed, there's a good chance even if they just crossed and not in that aspect, like I had background and a connection with you because you knew my sister.
Right.
I feel like that's the main link to. Okay, because if our paths crossed, we just knew each other, and then I didn't have their relationship. If you didn't have their relationship with my sister, even if they did see you in Cracker Barrel, you know, when I, you know, rushed up her, it would have just been in passing. Hey, girl, because I would have never asked about you because y'all would have never lived together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. These are all hypotheticals that don't exist, even though I brought them up too. That goes against the whole that. Can't really be brought into play to the soulmate conversation, because it is about, do you believe that there comes a time where that is supposed to happen, where a moment is supposed to incite the two souls meeting?
Yeah.
Because of how I really, like, you know, I don't think I'll be putting my foot in my mouth, But listen, 20 years down the line, maybe I will have. I don't know how I could have gotten, how we could have gotten this any better than what we did.
Somebody said, so you would have married a different Marcus Anthony. Ain't no other Marcus Anthony. I'm going to let you know it right now.
I don't know how we could have gotten this any better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I feel like you could look at any and everybody's present situation, and I think it would line up in the same way.
No, there's certain people's present situation that I'm just like, why is this a situation?
You know, and I get that. Like, and we, like, all right, we talked about, I think, divorce or whatever on one of the episodes, and we talked about how we've known people that's gotten a divorce, and it seems like the divorce should have came years before. Like, it should have happened a long time ago. But when they, you know, they stuck in that, you know, I guess they stuck in the cycle, can't really speak for them. But even if that divorce came 30 years of after 30 years of marriage, it was just like, but they were destined to do them 30 years together.
Oh, no, that I, you know, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And maybe that was gearing them up for the second or third marriage. You never know.
It,
but just the soulmate conversation, I just don't like, because something, because soulmate just means the one, someone you were destined to be with.
For lifelong.
Know, for lifelong. But there's people that, I know people whose, you know, wives have passed, husbands passed, they've gotten remarried, and they are just as, if not more, happy.
Yeah, so the big reason, honestly, I think that I should have rephrased everything I said at the beginning, so pretend like I didn't say any of the things. The big reason why I sometimes don't believe in soulmates is because I believe that marriage and being with someone is a daily choice. Mm-hmm. Where when you fall into this whole thought of soulmate, it takes away your accountability as far as in the work that you do,
right,
in order to be with this person for, yeah, a lifelong time.
That makes sense.
That is the reason why saying a soulmate, this person is my soulmate, doesn't really stick well with me, because I choose every day to try to be a good wife to this man. Sometimes in the middle of the day, I just be like, well, he's just going to get a mediocre wife and he going to have to either deal with it or not.
And I'm like, oh, that one's here today.
Whatever. But I choose daily to say yes. Most days, my yes is very easy. There's no thought of it. It's like, of course, this is who I want to wake up next to every single day. There are some days where that yes comes harder because we've had arguments, or he's done something that has either hurt my feelings or pissed me off, or I've felt misunderstood. Those days, luckily, are not often at all. But even in that, even in those days, I'm like, I'm still going to say yes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll figure out whatever this thing is that's you know, happening. So I think that's the reason why I shy away from the soulmate term, is because of the work that goes into a marriage can sometimes get discounted because of this whole destined and meant to be thing.
Yeah, and a lot of people are with the wrong person and they believe that they are their soulmate and they're destined to be together just because they got together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very, you know, I mean, it happens everywhere, but, you know, the black church,
mm-hmm,
black church will put two people together and it's be like, and they got a minister that don't know what he's talking about that will pray over them and y'all supposed to be together, and they both believe it, and they believe it miserably.
Mm-hmm.
And they end that for a long time until hopefully they wise up and realize, why did I do that? You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, like you said, like I agree with you, what you said, it's like a choice. It's, you know, we've known people that have been married and tragically lost one of the other person was tragically, you know, passed away at a young age.
Yeah.
If that was their soulmate, are they destined to be alone? No, they can get with somebody else. They can find somebody else. And like I said before, be just as, if not more, happy. Like,
yeah,
I never thought I'd be this happy after losing so-and-so.
All right. So, yeah, no, that's why. And y'all know, I've said it before, I call Marcus my purpose mate more than my soulmate, because he has, his role in my life is just not to fill a romantic void. And his role in my life does not complete me. However, I will say it's like Marcus. Okay, so you know how on the Mario Brothers, they can eat a mushroom and they get bigger. Mm-hmm. That Marcus is my mushroom. I feel as though his presence in my life magnifies who I am. Doesn't complete. I was still a complete person before he got into my life, but he helps to magnify what I'm capable of. So that's the reason why I call him more of my purpose mate, because I do feel how I intensify who I am. There's a confidence that I have because he's with me, because he's by my side, and because he believes in me. But my skill set would still be here. My desire to be successful would still be inside of me. However, it's like that little boost that I feel like his presence in my life helps. And that's outside of the fact that, you know, I get to have a romantic relationship with him as well. So I tend to use that term. What'd you say?
You lucky girl.
I am. You hear me? I am. Yes, he's the power up. And then when he acts like an ass, I shrink back down. And I'll be like, that's all right.
Hold on, her. There's these shrooms.
No, I'll be like, that's all right. I can still say Princess Peach if you're going to act up. You get it together. Is it time for the, I'm not keeping track of time that well. Is it time for the final ad?
I have no idea.
Oh, so you're doing a horrible job, too.
I didn't know I was supposed to be tracking.
You're supposed to do all the things. Thank you, Victory, for being here. All right. You know, you all might be thinking, Angel talking good today. How she be knowing all this stuff? How she be able to say all these things and halfway sound educated and not crazy? Because I have a therapist. Okay? Let me tell you that BetterHelp is sponsoring the show. The show and episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So sorry, there was a large note that I was like, okay, let me make sure. So sometimes when we're dealing with life, it feel like, especially adulting, we do not know what is happening. And I just sometimes wish there was a manual. There's so many things that happen in life that you just like, was I supposed to know how to deal with this? Was I supposed to know how to handle this? I remember when we brought kids home, I was like, they really don't give you a manual. They just send you off with your child. Well, BetterHelp Online Therapy is basically the next best thing to getting a manual. Unfortunately, life does not come with a user manual. So when it does, it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Navigating any of life's challenges can make you feel unsure, whether it's a career change or a new relationship or becoming a parent. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient and accessible anywhere, 100% online. I love therapy. Can't tell you how much I love it. I had to take a brief break while I was in production because of my schedule being crazy. And when I tell you, I cannot wait to have my first session again. But what's been so beautiful is that there's been so much residual from my sessions that I had before going into production that I've been able to use, that I now have the tools for those times where I didn't have the owner's manual before. I have the ways to fix certain things now from all the sessions that I had before my little short break. It gives so much self-empowerment. It definitely helps with dealing with trauma if you're dealing with any, and you learn really healthy coping skills. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists, available 100% online, plus it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/argue. That's betterhelp.com/argue.
Argue.
Is there anything you have to add?
No. Like, I feel like that's also like the whole soulmate thing. And this is like, what about free will? And this is like living, like you said, choosing to be like, marriage is a choice. Being with anyone is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, there's nothing that you have to do. And people, you know, a lot of people, sometimes people choose to leave,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like all of that changes depending on time and place. And even over time, things change.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, recently they were saying, I can't remember we were recording, but they asked if you believe in love at first sight. And I was like, yeah, I do believe someone can see someone and date them for, talk to them for a couple of hours and instantly fall in love. And they can also be wrong weeks mm-hmm. later or years later.
Mm-hmm.
Those feelings are valid that they are in love. You can have those very strong feelings, and that can also, just as easy as it came, it can also leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully agree. I fully agree. Sorry. I'm pulling up the whatever the question is going to be for audience okay. question.
Because that's what you want me to go, go on to that?
No, you can finish out your thought, and I'm going to make sure I have the question pulled up.
Oh, that was my thought.
Oh. So you think you got it right the first time? Do you think... What am I to you?
What you mean?
If I'm not your soulmate, what would you consider me?
Same, my purpose mate. I feel luckily found each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, whether it was destined to happen or if, you know, the chips fell and we made it work out, you know, it didn't have to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have easily made decisions, you know, back in, what was that September when we decided to make it official? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was September. It was sometime in that October, November, whatever it was.
It was at the end of the year.
All right, third quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We could have easily been, you know what, no, let's just, you know, let's just keep talking. It's moving too fast, you know. Could have went either way.
It is crazy to me that you were willing to make someone who was long distance your official girlfriend.
Yeah, me too.
It was crazy. I was like, he is feeling what I'm feeling. Okay.
But yeah, so yeah, I really don't believe in it.
All right. Here is an audience question. Hey, oh, yeah. I really like it. I think you're going to like it too. It is from Nisha Grant. And see, she's been able to ask the question because guess what? She's in our Patreon. And so she was able to ask it in the chat of the live taping of this. All the benefits of Patreon. Her question is, how do you keep boundaries with close family? Now, Nisha, as we answer this, I want you to clarify if these boundaries, do you mean boundaries in a marriage or boundaries just you as a person want to give yourself boundaries when it comes to your family? We'll first talk about marriage and then we'll talk about individual because I think both are important. Mm-hmm. In marriage, we just don't tell them our business. Obviously, it's a lot easier because we don't live near anybody. We live near my mom now and my niece, but for the first 10 years of our marriage, at least, I mean, my mother lived here kind of, sort of, every now and again, but for a long time, there was no one who could really see into our marriage. Right. That was family. So that was easy to set boundaries.
Yeah. Even if they can, you know, if you're in close proximity, can see into the marriage, it's not letting them have opinions on it. I remember, actually, this was at our wedding, at our reception, and I had one of Angel's sisters, in a way joking, but kind of joking, like, yeah, you didn't realize you was marrying all of us, did you? And I was like, trust me, I didn't. Because that's something that I never desired. I've seen it before. I've never desired to have people up in our marriage. And me and Angel knowing each other, I knew that wouldn't be the case anyway. But I feel like that's important. It's like when, for an example, when we going through something, I'm mad at her, she's mad at me, she's going to go vent to, you know, her sisters. I'm going to go vent to my brother and sister, and me and her get back together. We work through it. However, if they love us and feel strongly, they're going to continue to be mad because
100%.
They didn't work through it. Me and her worked through it, and we done moved on. But then people you told are still feeling some kind of way.
Yep.
Or possibly.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Even if you ain't just venting, or even if you are venting, I can't believe he told you that. He said what? And then me and her worked through it. It's like, yeah, I meant that. Oh, okay. Goes back. Now she's trying to convince them not to be mad at me anymore. That ain't her job to convince them not to be mad at me.
Right. So not setting yourself up in that way to begin with, because
you can tell them after the fact. Yeah, let me tell you what happened last week. You know what I'm saying?
Because the thing is, you can't really be mad at them for still being mad. Like, right. You can't be mad at them. They don't get the benefits that you might get of being married to their person.
Right.
Right. And that benefit might, no telling. It could just be sex. It could be the financial support. It could be the things that they help around with the house. Your family does not get those benefits to be able to soften whatever the issue was. And so that was a big thing for us. One of the few things that we learned in our one premarital counseling session, I remember drawing circles on a paper of like what our inner circle looked like. And our inner circle was me, Marcus, and God.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever professional we might bring into the situation to help us navigate certain things. And then our immediate family is outside of that. There's a lot of things that stay in me and Marcus' inner circle that does not flow out to that next circle, which is our family.
It's almost like a weather report. You know, you got the severe weather. It's always red and pink.
Uh-huh.
That's that inner circle. Once you start getting outside of that, it goes to real neutral colors.
Yeah.
Because that's where all everything's happening. It don't need to get out.
I mean, obviously, I'm not and he's not in an abusive relationship, because that sometimes can be the issue. If you're in an abusive relationship and the secrets are held, there's no one there to help you. Luckily, Marcus and I do live a portion of our life out loud via this podcast, right, via vlogs. So the signs of abuse, I feel like, would be halfway shown if that were the case. But because I did marry someone sane,
most of the time,
those things aren't something that I am worried about far as in that.
And that does happen. You know, you got the people that they, become alienated with their family, and it's like, oh, well, you know, Keisha's changed. You know, she's jumpy now. And, you know, you can tell something's amiss. Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't been treated right. That's different. You know, trying to probe and pick and like figure out what's going on. Like, we've talked to people, you know, things ain't going right in their marriages. This is like, and you can see that they're covering.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely different, you know, situation. But a healthy relationship, if you are happy, if your spouse is happy, and y'all will go through ups and downs and hills and valleys, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all ain't going through that, then it's flatline. That means the marriage is dead. Mm-hmm. That I call those hills and valleys a heartbeat. That means y'all living, y'all figuring each other out. But y'all going through that, y'all don't need to put that business out there. Like, it may even turn out to be something funny. Yeah, y'all can share stuff. Like, you can share whatever you want, but don't let people come in and voice their opinion, let it alter what y'all got going on.
And what I think there's the one side of the coin. You keep people, your family, out of your business. The other side of the coin that helps with, you know, you not being alienated from your family is we still do things with our family.
Yeah.
We might not have them in our business, but we go to graduations. We celebrate holidays with our families.
Right.
We include them into like the major events in our life. So even though our personal intimate stuff stays personal and intimate, we are still very connected with our family. Right. I talk to my sisters every week when I'm not as busy working. I sometimes talk to my sisters every day. We literally have one of our family members as our employee, you know. So it's the combination of both. Don't isolate yourself to the point where your family is like, do you even exist anymore?
Right.
But they don't need to be knowing all of the ins and outs.
Yeah, they don't need to be knowing everything that's going on with y'all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We can be mad at each other and ain't nobody got to know but us. People come around, hey, babe, you need anything? No, I'm good. All right, we go on about our business. Then everybody leave, is now we can put the thing back up because I ain't over it yet. You know,
or people can know that we're mad at each other.
Y'all, yeah.
But y'all just ain't gonna know what I'm mad about. Yeah. I'm just mad at him.
Yeah.
There you go.
Keep turning the toilet paper roll around. I told him leave it that way.
But the same thing goes with for those of y'all who are single and you have an overbearing family. If you're an adult, eventually you got to start acting like an adult.
Facts. Eventually, God dang, that's facts.
Yeah, eventually you have to start acting like an adult. If you don't want your parents giving their overbearing opinion on everything, stop asking for it and stop asking for other things from them.
Yeah, because we know people that ain't young adults that still do that.
Yeah.
In marriages. It's like, you need to check your mama.
Yeah.
Because she meddling. And you need to check yourself because you need to quit telling her crap.
And a lot of times the financial support is the way parents are able to still have control in your life. You're going to have to start figuring out ways to, like, really solidify yourself so that you can operate. Our wedding was one of the easy ways to be able to, like, show how I was able to kind of sever myself. Not from my mom. Me and my mother have never had an unhealthy, relationship as far as in her, thinking she could control my life. But because I paid for my marriage outside of my wedding dress, my mother did gift that to me. And outside of our, your parents paid for something. There was something that they paid for. I can't remember. We financed our entire wedding. So we felt very comfortable and confident in all the decisions we made because we knew we were the only ones that could make those decisions unless we gave someone else the power to do so. And a lot of times when you are still very much so dependent upon your parents to pay your rent or to help pay your car note or to pay your phone bill, whatever have you, they still feel entitled to have an opinion on your life. And I get it. I'm not even trying to say that they're wrong.
100%, yeah.
But if you are striving to start setting boundaries, those boundaries, it's not that the boundary becomes a one-way street.
Right.
The boundaries are a closed street completely. So you can't keep reaching over there to them for support financially or whatever and tell them they can't reach back to give you their opinion. You have to close that off and make it so that you are saying, I can stand independently of you. And when I welcome your opinion, please, you feel free to give it to me. But when I don't want it, please don't. You can do it then. But if you over here asking for money all the time, they're going to be like, well, I'm just going to go down this other street that you done left open because I've been funneling money to your life. I'm just going to go through that way. Yeah. So
there was a TikTok that we talked about last week on Let Us Tell It.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Greg, there was this father that rolled up in his daughter's house because him and his wife own this house. The daughter's living there and she's living there with this deadbeat boyfriend. So the daddy walks up in there fed up, like this boy ain't working, he ain't doing nothing, he ain't helping out with the bills. The little girl, I don't know how old she is, but she's flipping out. I can't believe you, daddy. Why are you doing this? He was like, this is my house.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't about to let you, first of all, you need better for yourself. You got this deadbeat boyfriend. He need to get out. So he kicks the boy out. He got to roll out. He's completely justified in doing that because, like he said, it's his house.
Yeah.
If she didn't want her father having that strong of an influence in her life, she need to be out on her own and she can have somebody mooch off her on her own dollar.
Yeah.
But until then, I agree with him. Like, you can't get nothing from me. Matter of fact, you living the way I say you living because you living in my house and you ain't paying for it.
And I know some people want it to be the other way around. Well, it's going to be that way if that's the type of parent you have and they are putting money in your pocket or putting a roof over your head. This is why why you living under my roof. You follow my rules.
Yeah.
That goes for any adult living in my house, even if I didn't birth them.
Yeah.
If you living in under the roof of a house that I pay for and I pay the bills for and you are not asked to input any money.
We have been there.
There are certain rules. I'm not trying to make you no prisoner, but there are certain rules that it just is what it is. Like if we were housing someone and they were a weed smoker or a cigarette smoker, you ain't smoking that in my house.
Nah.
As a matter of fact, after you smoke outside, you're going to have to take about an hour or so before you can come in because I don't want the whiff of that inside of my house.
Could make the property non-smoking.
Yeah.
You got to go sit in your car or drive down the street. Like, because it's ours. You know what I'm saying?
You could be fully grown. But if you in a property that I own, that's the way it's going to be. So anywho, anyway, I think that's all for the audience question.
Absolutely. Good insight, Angel.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Same.
Great. In conclusions.
Come on, baby. All of them. In the conclusions, yeah. Huh?
So make sure. Well, first of all, we want to thank y'all for tuning in. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
I have been your host, Marcus Tanksley. You can find me on Instagram at Marcus Ain't on the Gram, Facebook at Marcus Ain't on the Book, TikTok at Tank Don't Talk. And y'all can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit. That's M-A-N-S-H-Y-T-E. You can go to manshit.com and check that out. Angel? You, baby, go on, let them know where they can find
you. First of all, you so cute.
Sugar
stop.
Cakes.
Stop playing with me.
Hey.
I've been your other host, and I've been so happy to be here. You can find me at That Chick Angel pretty much across all platforms, even if that's not my handle on the platform. If you search That Chick Angel, I will pop up. Please, please, please rate and review this podcast. Oh, you were going to do that? I'm so sorry. I'll let you do it.
Okay.
Well, let me talk about the sponsors, and then you can do that. Yeah. Please make sure you check out our sponsors that I told you all about on this podcast. We had Native, Helix, Ritual, and BetterHelp. Give them a try. Use our promo codes as well as join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/thatchickangel.
Absolutely. And if you are listening to this, make sure you rate and review this podcast, okay? Because we greatly appreciate that. We need that, and that helps us grow. If you are watching this, go listen and rate and review. Do all of those things. Rate and review this podcast, because when you do that, it helps us out. It helps us produce stuff. It helps us come up with stuff. It helps the brand see that we doing the goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we greatly appreciate it.
All right, you guys, y'all be blessed.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Bye.